chapter 29 of Job. Let me read first the scriptures of the King James Version. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "Oh, that I were as in the months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street. The young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand upon their mouth. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me, and when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and I clothed, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was the eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor. The cause which I knew not I searched out, and I broke the jaws of the wicked and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My foot was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear, and waited, and kept silence at my counsel. After my words they spoke not again, and my speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as for rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, they believed it not. And the light of my countenance they cast not down. I chose out their way and sat chief, and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforts the mourner." I titled this one, if I was going to put a title on something, "There's No Future in the Past." There's no future in the past. What's past is what? It's past. It's gone. You can't live there no more. If you choose to try to live there, all you're going to live in is misery. Even if it was good things, you try to live in the past in misery, you'll end up in misery trying to live back there. We're going to find out some things about Job here. You're going to find out some things about who?
Myself.
Yourself. It says, "And Job continued his discourse and said," but the word parable's not there, it's discourse. He said, "Oh, that I were in past months as I were, oh, that I were as in months past, or in the days when God, the one true God, preserved me." He's living in the past, isn't he? He's looking back saying, "Oh, it was a lot better back then." How many people's heard people say today, "Oh, the good old days. The only good old day I get's today. The rest of them's already finished. I can't go back and live in them no more, can I? I'm not worried about tomorrow because I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but all I can say is today's a good old day." Right now. "When his candle shined upon my head, and when his light, and by his light I walked through darkness." Does anybody know what Proverbs 20:27 says? "The candle of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is the candle of man," or something like that. I said it wrong. Now I got to look it up. It isn't right. Let me look at it. Proverbs 20:27. Just a second, I'll be there. Said something, I didn't quote it right. And if I say it wrong, it bothers me. Got to say it right. 20:27. "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So he said when the candle of the Lord was upon him, what was he saying? It was the spirit of God. See, the candle of man, the candle of the Lord is the spirit in man. Not the spirit of man. Don't take it that way. Because there is no spirit of man, there's a spirit of Christ, spirit of God, that's all there is. There's only one spirit in the whole earth. The rest of it's just thoughts, images.
Spirit in man.
"When his candle," that's the candle of the Lord, "shined upon my head," and what's the head speak of?
Mind,
talking about the enlightening the mind. "And when by his light I walked through" what? Ignorance. I walked through ignorance. He protects you in that ignorance. You walk through it. There ain't no way you can get around walking through ignorance. Everybody does it. I'm talking spiritual ignorance, and there's a lot of people in natural ignorance. I understand that, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual ignorance. Majority of the church world is in spiritual ignorance. They do not understand what God's talking about. They talk in carnal realms when God's in spirit. The only way we communicate with God is in spirit, because God is a spirit. And he said he seeks you to worship him in what? In the spirit. So you can't communicate with him in flesh. You've got to communicate with him in your spirit. Verse 4 goes on to say, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret, or the intimacy of God, is what it should say, the intimacy of the one true God, was upon my temporary dwelling. So he's saying the intimacy with God was upon my temporary dwelling. He realized this is a temporary dwelling. He's not talking about that's his permanent home, is he? The church world has got this thing twisted to where this flesh is, they're trying to hold on to it through eternity. God, the way mine hurts, I don't want it that long. You know, hurts pretty bad now, so I don't want all of it for that time. Would you? Get this thing wore out and get a new one. And the book does talk to us about a spiritual body, doesn't it? Well, I'm ready for that one, see. Whenever he's ready, I'm ready. I'm not speeding it up, but I sure don't want to preserve it any longer than I have to. When the Almighty was yet with me, and it's really a wrong view, when the Almighty was with me. It's a wrong view. Where was he at? He was within me. That's a different thing, somebody sitting with me or someone inside of me. He thought that, but that's what I'm saying, wrong thought, wrong thinking. God doesn't dwell with his people, he dwells in his people. That makes a major difference. When I think God's just sitting right there, that means I can get him, walk away from him, or he can walk away from me. But whenever I realize God dwells in me, guess what? I can't go anywhere without him, can I? So it's not about coming to church on Sunday morning or Wednesdays or whatever thing, anything any other days. It's about realizing that God is in the tabernacle daily, continually. He's always there. I can't get away from him, neither can you. If God left your tabernacle, we'd be having a wake this morning for somebody. If God left your body, you'd be dead. He can't leave this tabernacle. If he does, you're dead. And I'm very positive, he said it several times in the book, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that was in the Old Testament. Wasn't in the New Testament, like the church says, well, you don't get in you until the New Testament. That's their story. I said on my tail, but the truth is, Genesis 2:7, he said Adam was formed from the dust of the earth, and God breathed his breath into him, his spirit into him, and guess what? From that time on, he never left humanity. He was the prototype. And all the rest are just like him. Look at verse 6. When I washed my steps, what's my steps? My lifestyle, with butter, which speaks of what? An anointing. And the rock, Christ, poured me out rivers or streams of an oil or anointing. He said, oh, it was good back then when he done all them good things. Well, see, when you're in the blessing mode, everybody thinks it's just peachy keen, don't they? But when God starts to put you in the mode of maturing, when it takes a little bit of pain and suffering to get you to mature up, all of a sudden now we start looking back and say, oh, I wished I could go back and be like it was before. I don't want to go back and play in the sandbox no more. I don't want to go back and take a pacifier and put it in my mouth and nurse on it and think it's going to give me nourishment. That's for babies, isn't it? We're supposed to be growing up. When we grow up, we don't need those baby things anymore, do we? I don't need the fooler in my mouth, the pacifier. I don't need the sandbox to play in. Now I have him. Now I can stand on my own two feet and be the man of God that I've been called to be. And you can too. We have that ability. We have that understanding. We can do this. You know why? Because he said if he calls you, he equips you. Well, what do I got to worry about then? It's already been taken care of. All I got to do is stand up and walk it out. And I know the end of it before I get there. Because he already said he would equip me. That means I cannot fail. If you go into anything, and say it's business in the world, if I go into a business with 100% guarantee that I absolutely cannot fail, what kind of business are you going to get into? What kind of business are you going to, prosperity are you going to bring in your life? You don't waste any energy, negative energy, all your power and energy going on fear and intimidation and fret and stress. You put your energy into producing something, don't you? Being productive. It's the same thing with God. If I take all this negative energy out and quit wasting my energy on that negative thought and put it on producing the productivity and the produce of God in my life, guess what? I will. I can't. I mean, how can you do anything but I will? That's a success story. So you can't lose. But you've got to focus upon Him and realize all these intimidations in our mind, these fears and phobias that come at us, oh, you might fail, or oh, you can't do this, or you can't do that. That's coming out of the carnal mind. There's the serpent, the one that lied to Eve. And you know what the greatest lie was when the serpent deceived Eve? Not that she did anything wrong. That wasn't even the condemnation. The condemnation was that if you eat of this tree, you will be as... There was the lie. You know what the lie was? That she wasn't God yet. She wasn't a son of God yet. The lie was, you're not like God. See, He wouldn't tell you you could be like God if He was trying to convince you you already were, would He? He was trying to convince her, and He did convince her that she was not a child of God. You're not already like God, but if you do this, then you will be. And that's the whole lie. If you think you have to do anything to be a son of God, you've missed it. You're a son of God because you were conceived. All of us that have children, our children don't have to do anything to become our children, do they? Had nothing to do with them. Papa took care of it, did he? Same thing. Natural teaches you about the spiritual. Realize that you don't have to do anything for God to love you. Now, guarantee you this, the rewards will be different for the ones who are obedient versus the ones who are disobedient. There's a reward factor here. Proverbs 17:2, a wise servant will have rule over the sons that call shame, and they'll have part of the inheritance among the brethren. There's going to be an inheritance. Everyone will be there, but the rewards will not be the same. And a whole lot, like Jesus said, in that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons, healed the sick? And he'll say, depart from me. What are you saying? Just knocked my mic off, dropped my glasses, but we're back now. God didn't tell you to do it. You're doing it because someone else did it. And that's the problem with most churches today. They don't have the ability to stand on their own two feet and do what God's telling them to do. Do you remember something Paul said? He said he never preached on another man's gospel, on another man's foundation. He went out and laid his own foundation. So he didn't go where someone else had preached and try to preach there and try to build something. He went and into the gospels to the Gentiles where they'd never heard of it before. And see, that's the same thing we should be doing. We shouldn't have to stand on another man's foundation other than Christ. That's all we have to stand on. Not another man's view, not another man's organization. Has nothing to do with anything. Do we want the truth? That's all that matters. If you want the truth, you'll go get it. That's all that matters. God's not impressed by big churches and big things like that, big orifices. I'm at 7, aren't I? When I went to the gate to the city, I prepared my seat in the what? The square. It's the word is plateia in the Greek. It's a plaza or square, okay? The young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood. I want to draw your attention to something as we're going through here. Starting in verse 4, he said, when I was in the days of my youth. Tell me what he's thinking about. Himself. If you'll look in verse 4, it's once. It actually uses I, me, my, or mine. If you look at all these words, look how many times he uses I, me, my, or mine in this chapter. It's unbelievable the times he points at it. In that fourth verse, he says, I and my. When the Almighty was yet with me, when my children, about me, when I washed my steps with the butter and the rocks poured at me out rivers of oil, when I went to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, and when the young men saw me, they hid themselves, and the aged rose and stood. It's amazing. You pay attention to the I, me, my, and mine that he's talking about. That's called the I world, the I, me, my, and mine world, the ego world, when it's all about himself. That's what he was talking about. You don't realize sometimes how many times in your conversation you use the word I, me, my, or mine. And it's not necessary, but it gets to be a habit. And that tells us our thinking is about ourselves. And that's what he's showing us in this book, this chapter. He focuses on himself and his situation. Okay? Verse 9. The princes refrained talking and laid their hands on their mouth. See, because of what? Because he was speaking. The eye was speaking. The nobles or the religious leaders held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. That means they couldn't speak. They were speechless. And you know what? A lot of the religious leaders, if they were speechless, they'd be a lot better off. And I mean that. If their tongue would stick to the roof of their mouth and stay there for a while, it'd be a whole lot better for everybody else. When the ear heard who? Then it blessed who? Literally it says, called me blessed. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. How about that? It's all about me, isn't it? I, me, my, or mine. Because who delivered? I delivered the poor, the depressed in mind and circumstances, that cried for help, and the fatherless or the bereaved that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I don't see God in all this, do you? I see someone claiming everything for himself, his notoriety, his reputation. And that's what happens to the person when we get in trouble. It goes back to self-centeredness, the humanistic view, looking at me. He said, I put on righteousness. Ooh. And it clothed me. My judgment was a robe and diadem. Literally, it was a covering and a headdress. Now, what we could really say was, he didn't realize it, it was the mind of Christ. But he didn't take care of it, did he? He didn't take care of it that way. He said, I was eyes to the blind and feet was I to the lame. He didn't say God was, did he? He said he was. He's seeing himself in this. I was father to the poor, and the cause or the controversy which I knew not, I investigated thoroughly. 17. I broke the what? Not jaws, but teeth or fangs out of the wicked. See, he's literally talking about he was doing something to wicked people. We're not talking about that. And plucked the spoil or the prey out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, in comfort, see, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. I'm never going to die. I'm so good, I can't die. And there's people running around today saying that very same thing. I'm so righteous and I'm so Christ-like that I will never die. I'll just keep right on going. There's people. I've had them stand in this room right here and say it. I don't believe it. And you know what? And they're going to doctors and having surgeries and wearing glasses and all that things. So if we're never going to deteriorate, then what are they doing all that stuff for? A big empty head. Big empty head. They got the big empty head. Don't take much of God to fill up even a big head. Verse 19. My root, what? Literally, it reaches out to the waters. He said, my root. What is your root? Root's your beginning. And it's seeking water. It seeks the word. Okay? He's saying, I'm seeking the word, but he hadn't come through all these tests and trials yet, had he? You can seek the word, but until you come through your tests and trials, you'll never be able to appreciate that experience. See? When you come to that place, you reach out to the word and everything, but still it's not fulfilling anything. I'm still going through all these troubles and trials and tests and pressures and all this stuff, misery and suffering coming on. Can't figure out why. But as I continue on, I begin to understand that's not even the point. The point is, how am I reacting in this test that God's placing me in? How do I respond to the pressures that's put against me? Do I bite back like a serpent, like a snake? You step on a snake and it bites you. Or do I respond as a worm or a maggot, as they called in the scriptures? And you step on a worm, what does it do? It squishes and wiggles. It feels the same pain that the serpent does, but it doesn't retaliate, does it? That's the way we're supposed to be. He went as a mute lamb to the slaughter. He didn't say anything when they beat him and killed him, stuck him, done all the things they'd done to him. Didn't do anything. He didn't respond anyway, except one way. Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. In other words, he's just saying, they're ignorant, don't worry about them. I got them covered. Okay?
My root reaches to the waters, and the dew lays all night upon my branch. In all the time of my ignorance, that anointing is still laying there, isn't it? It's not evaporating. It's not going anywhere. See, dew represents anointing. It's not going anywhere. If God places a gift upon you, it says the gifts and calling are irrevocable or without repentance. God's not sorry He gave it to you. He knows what's going to happen in the end, doesn't He? They can misuse and abuse all they want to, and it doesn't offend God. He knows what He's going to get in the end. So we can rest in that. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Let's say it a different way. Let's hear what it really says. My kabod. That's the word for glory, kabod. And the Greek word coming out of it is doxa. Both of them mean this. My substance that has weight is fresh, or literally renewed in me. And my bow, what's a bow represent? Covenant. The rainbow in the sky, the bow, is a covenant that God said He'd never destroy the earth again by water. Well, you know what? He'll speak the word, but it'll not destroy us again. It won't be destroyed by water. The word will never destroy us. It'll bring life to us. Was renewed in my what? Hand. What's the hand mean?
Works.
My works. So his glory, something weighty, was renewed in him, and his covenant was renewed in his works. So he said, okay, I see something now. Maybe it wasn't all about me. Maybe it's not about me. God has renewed something in me. Some point in our life, we're going to come and say, you know what? God's renewed something in me. My mind's not the same as it was. Just like Ezekiel, he said, I'm going to take your old heart out and I'm going to give you a new one. Okay? Someplace it's going to happen. God's going to take that old mind out, give you a new mind, and when you do, you're going to say, He just renewed something. Now notice he didn't say he gave him a new something. He said he renewed it. So what is Job actually telling you, or what is God telling you through the words that was used here? He renewed it. And when it says fresh there in the first part, which is my glory was fresh, it literally is the word renewed again, same word. What does renew mean? R-E, the first two words, letters of that word means to do it again. Huh? He's saying he had glory before and it was renewed. You couldn't be renewed until you'd had it before. You can't repaint this room until it's been painted the first time. So he couldn't say my covenant was renewed until he realized he had a covenant with God before. Correct? See, we've got to use our minds. Think about these things. Don't just take it casually. Don't just look at the surface. Think about these words. Verse 21. To me, men gave ear and waited. Me again. It's so funny. Remember I said a few weeks ago how quick we can be talking spiritual when the next word out of our mouth is carnal. That tongue's in a slippery place. We have to watch and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If we don't, we're going to be talking a mixture of things. We've got to make sure we say what is meant to be said. Be like Samuel. It said, Samuel spoke and never a word fell to the ground. Do you realize how awesome that is? Everything he spoke was straight from the throne room. He never had an idle word. Man, that's awesome. And that's where we're supposed to be. I don't think Jesus wasted a lot of words. He didn't do a lot of small talk, nothing we know of. He only spoke what needed to be spoken. Sometimes we can go too far. Sometimes we don't go far enough. We need to be led by the Spirit. Would you agree to that? Verse 22. After my words, they spoke not again. Boy, they look at me again. Look at me again. I'm puffed right back up again. Just realized God did something for me, and I'm right back on the pride rap again. He said, after my words, they spoke not again, and my speech dropped upon them. That means it was heavy. It dropped on them and gave them some attention. And they waited for me as for the rain. Oh, he's the rain now. And they opened their mouth wide as for the spring rain. Spring rain brings what? Life. And they were looking for him to bring life. And that's what he was saying. Don't you know how easy it is to get caught up in that? To get caught up in speaking for God, and the next thing you know, you're speaking for yourself? It's very easy. And that's what he got caught up in. He doesn't realize it yet. We get to look back and see his mistakes that he made and find out, man, I don't want to do that. He never had the opportunity, did he? That's why when Jesus died on the cross, he went into the bowels of the earth, he went into humanity, and got all the ones that were left from the Old Testament and took them all. See, he took all the ones that were captive and took them into captivity to him. He retrieved all of them. When he died, he went into the bowels of the earth and took captivity captive and brought them, set them free. And that's what he did. All the ones that died for it, they never had the opportunity we have today. They never had the sacrifice made for them, did they? It wasn't finished yet. So they didn't have the opportunity to walk where we walk today. They lived under the law. Do it or die. Do it or die. We don't have that today. We have someone who died for us, and it's already put in motion. And the last thing he said was, it's finished. Father, forgive them, and it's finished. It's done. See, now we got something better. That's why all the Old Testament saints got to make their mistakes and used as examples of what we're going to do and realize now that he already paid the price for it. How can they charge me for something that he paid for? They can't. They just think they can. If I laughed at them, they believed it not. And the illumination of my face fell not down. I chose out their way and sat chief and dwelt as a king among his troops, who comforts the mourners. Do you see his place of exaltation he's making for himself? Now, don't think that ain't you. They were following the man, but see what happens to the man or the woman who sits in a place of authority, how easy it is to get puffed up and start thinking it's all about you. How easy it is to get caught in that. It's look, I, me, my, and mine. That whole chapter. You got to count how many I, me, my, or mine. There's quite a few of them, isn't there? And that's what it's about, to realize how easily we can go from talking spiritual and we're right back, just flip the switch so quickly, we're right back in talking about I, me, my, or mine. It's all about the carnal side so quickly. And we have to watch that. See? Because all glory and honor goes to who? To God. Not to man, not to humanity. Nothing goes to humanity. We're just a servant. Servants are supposed to obey, correct? Well, if I do what I'm told to do, what have I got to glory in? I was just doing what I was told to do. Same thing with the servants of God. If I do what I'm told to do, I can't glory in, I know some great revelation. I know a lot of things. But it's not mine, it's his. He gave it to me. I didn't earn anything. So what have I got to glory in? What have I got, Tom? Absolutely nothing. I'm just like all the rest of everybody else. I just got a different job assignment. That's all. I've just got a different responsibility than you got. So I can't crow at it. Just let God be God, do what I'm told to do, and keep my mouth shut and go on. Except when he tells me to say something, I will say it. Had some people came here years ago that the woman says, I can't believe the things you say. And the man said, well, I know why God chose you. And I said, okay, why? And he said, because you're crazy enough to say anything God tells you to. And I said, well, thank you very much. And he said, well, I meant it as a compliment. He said, I know it was. So I'm not afraid to say it because I know who my security is in. He's my high tower. And I've already run into him. No problem anymore. I don't have to run and hunt for a tower for security whenever something goes down, do you? You can sit in it right now. You're walking in it, in the peace and security of God. It doesn't make any difference if we die in the flesh today or tomorrow, does it? All I have to do is do what my Father wants me to do. That's all I got to do. I don't have to worry about what people think about me. It's not their concern. They don't own me. They don't have a title deed to me. They think because they own that dirt out there, they can own you. They don't own you. Nobody does. God paid the price for you. When Jesus died on the cross, he said he bought you with his blood. Nobody else did. There's no church organization, there's no preacher that owns anybody. They don't even own themselves. So what are they doing trying to control you? Man, be free is all I can tell you.